Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Daily Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. We've already spoken to Josh Lewin, who is one of the new voices for the Red Sox this upcoming season. It was fun to visit with him. We will, at the bottom of the hour, speak to the superb sports legal analyst for SI.com, University of New Hampshire law professor Michael McCann. He wrote what everybody seems to think is the definitive column about the significance of the Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid settlement with the National Football League.
He always takes all of these like court cases that involve athletes and everything and makes it simple. Like you can actually figure it out.
Or as simple
as possible. That's true. Sometimes it's kind of out of his hands, but he can explain it so that I can understand it, which I feel like is a important thing to get across.
If I can get it, Little Richie Keith
you can
and
get
me
it.
Can
yes,
can
you driving around out there, it, right. You will get it after we talk to McCann at 11:30.
We mentioned that one of his attorneys, Mark Garagos, he said over the weekend that the Patriots could be a team interested in bringing Colin Kaepernick in.
He said that before.
I know he did.
He's like, well, going right back to it. He's like, by the way, I'm going to bump my previous prediction. Like, no, that didn't get a lot of hits. I'm going to, like, retweet my old tweet from, like, 3 months ago because nobody talked about it then.
Now, Chris Carter also talked about that possibility. If you're looking for the added weight,
I would love to know what Chris Carter has to say. Yeah.
So Chris Carter said that the Krafts are very fond of Colin Kaepernick, although he doesn't give any evidence of that.
Huh. Well,
is Chris Carter suggesting because Robert Kraft likes Meek Mill, he'll like Colin Kaepernick as well?
I hope he's not making that connection. I don't know. I would put the chances of Colin Kaepernick signing with the Patriots at 0%. I'd put it at 0% chance.
Let's see what Chris Carter
had
to say.
Let's see.
The ball control component with the lack of offensive line developing and how you can be physical now in the NFL because it's the lack of practice time. Other teams won't be able to defend that. So that's where I see the trend now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they signed Colin Kaepernick, get a veteran player, still sit behind Brady for a year, because in the NFL, if he's going to get back in the league, it's going to take a head coach and an owner like Kraft and Belichick.
0%. I give it 0%.
Alex Reamer wrote about it this morning on WEEI.com. As Alex says, he's an avowed Colin Kaepernick apologist. He said few things would delight him more than seeing Kaepernick suit up for the Patriots. He said there's a better chance Donald Trump asks for egg whites in his omelet.
Yeah, right. There's no chance. And even if you're Kaepernick, so you haven't played for 2 years. You weren't the starter your last year in San Francisco until of an injury. Then you did take over. So now you're going to go to a team, there's probably 20 teams in the league that he would have no chance at starting unless there was an injury. Like, just no chance.
This is certainly one of them.
This is one of them for sure. And it's a guy who's saying he's going to play till he's 45. So what, you sign and then you just back up Brady for 3 years? That's just, it's not happening. There's no way.
It makes no sense, both from the Patriots' perspective and from Colin Kaepernick's perspective. Now, there was some talk over the weekend. We still don't know the terms of the settlement. Both sides are precluded from saying it. It doesn't preclude us from guessing, which is what people did over the weekend. One of the guesses over the weekend I saw was that, you know, Kaepernick, as part of this settlement, was precluded from playing in the NFL. But based on what Mark Garagos said, that's obviously not true.
Yeah, so we don't know where that one is. And I just think this could kind of linger on. If you have his attorney saying he wants to play and then nobody wants him, like, that is just not great. And the fact that Chris Carter, who's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, the fact that he would say he wouldn't be surprised if he signed with the Patriots is a reckless take. It's reckless is what it is. He wouldn't be surprised.
He's not basing it on anything.
Like, wouldn't you be shocked if he signed with them? And meanwhile, Carter's like, wouldn't be surprised. So he would read that. He'd go online or he'd see on Twitter, Colin Kaepernick signs with the Patriots. And he would just nod his head. Like, yeah, I knew that. I knew that would happen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That makes sense. He's like, yeah, I kind of warned you. Remember the guy who was out of football for 2 years, sued the league, won tens of millions of dollars, and then goes to a team that has the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's not going to sniff the field for a while? Remember when I said he'd probably go there? It happened. I was right. He's not going to play for anybody. Because the other part of it is, how much money
and
does he want?
Presumably right now he doesn't need to, right?
How much more money does he want? Like, he's going to collect here. We heard the report last Friday. We were talking about how the AAF reached out to him, and he said, yeah, I'd consider for $20 million. And then Darren Revelle said, no, nah, it was more than $20 million. So if a team went up to him and said, hey, we would love for you to be our backup, here's $7 million, and he says no, like, what is that, right? Like, are they keeping him out of the league, or is he kind of keeping himself out of the league because maybe his price tag's too high?
I don't know if he'll ever play again. I feel fairly confident in saying it won't be here. And we mentioned this about Patriots fans. It might be a minority, but they will be a vocal minority.
Oh, they'll be loud, but that's
they
fine.
Will be going crazy if the Patriots sign Colin Kaepernick. Now, we talked about this before with Kaepernick. You know, is the distraction factor worth it? You know, and they said, what the hell? We'll bring Tebow in. We're good. We'll live with it.
I do think this would be the perfect place for him in that regard. Like
they're better able to. Just
they're the best at it.
Stick it
they're
in the back best. Burner. We don't care.
Yeah, they bring in Tebow. They bring in Albert Haynesworth. They bring in Josh Gordon. They bring in Randy Moss. They bring in Ocho Cinco. They bring in all these guys. They don't care. They'll shut it right down. They had a guy on their team probably kill three people. They cut him. They had a press conference.
Well, he was convicted of killing one.
Yeah, so put that one on him. And then Belichick goes up there, explains it away, and then that's it. They moved on. So, yeah, I think they could bring in Colin Kaepernick. Now, I don't want him. I don't think he really helps you. I'd rather, you know, maybe draft a quarterback this year or something along those lines. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. I don't know if he's going to run the same offense that Brady is and all that other stuff. But as far as a team that has a really strong head coach, a really strong owner, you know, and a team that has dealt with so many distractions.
Starting quarterback who's really good still.
They could do it. Like, they could take it on. A team that has, you know, a shaky kind of GM, that's not happening. He's not going to put himself out there and say, we're taking in Kaepernick, because you don't really know how it's going to play out. There could be some fan bases where there's a total revolt, or he does the Nike campaign. Their stock goes through the roof. They become super cool. Everybody embraces that. Yep. So, I mean, you could go a couple different ways here.
We'll get Michael McCann's opinion on this at the bottom of the hour. But in my opinion, as I was watching this unfold over the weekend, my thought process was the NFL doesn't settle if they weren't afraid of losing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And on top of it, afraid what else might get exposed. Like, there's always the chance that
is there some indication from some of these depositions that that there are owners in the NFL who are racially insensitive?
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
I could see the NFL saying that's the last thing we need.
Well, you remember some of the other stuff with some of the other owners that came out, and then, you know, when they've had owners meetings, just that. So forget their emails. Just what some of those guys have said, like some of the lines that like Bob McNair was quoted as saying, or go back to the old Carolina Panthers owner who's now no longer the owner. Like things like that could certainly pop up again if you allow them. We're really going to fight this. Like, okay. Well, to prove your innocence, let's see some emails. Let's see some texts. Let's see some. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You got to see all that stuff? Because then all of a sudden we're dealing with maybe a separate court case or something else that's popping up, or some other guy has to sell his team. So, like, you know what? If we all have to pay Colin Kaepernick $4 million or whatever the number ends up being per team, fine. We'll do it. Let's start the next
season. Make this go away.
Yes. That's all they're doing.
We know some of the people who were deposed, as we said, Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, Bob McNair. We don't know all of them.
Right.
We don't know who, you know, the complete list of people who have been deposed by Garagos and his side. What we do know is that a judge last August told the NFL, no, we're not putting this aside. I've got enough here.
I think
this is going forward. And I think at that point, the NFL owners went, uh-oh.
I think it's weird that Kraft was involved. Oh, maybe it's not weird, because he is one of the higher profiled owners.
And Jerry Jones is another one.
But I think, like, if you were trying to figure out what was going on with Kaepernick, I think you would have to go to, there was rumors about Seattle bringing him in and signing him, and then they didn't.
Baltimore.
And Baltimore. And then with the last team he played was San Francisco. So those three teams, I think you could do some sit downs and be like, First of all, you brought him in. Why didn't you sign him? Is it really just because you thought Austin Davis was better? Or
you want to run that one by us?
Yeah, or like go to like Washington. Be like, Washington, so you guys signed all of these quarterbacks. Did you even consider Kaepernick? And if so, because I'm just waiting. I'm surprised we haven't gotten this yet, that a team says, we reached out to Kaepernick, but he wanted way more money than we were willing to pay him. Like, that's what I'm waiting on, because that's what I kind of feel like would be the best defense for the NFL. But they would have had to do that, and maybe they didn't. Because I really don't think he would have played for veterans minimum. I think he would have thought better of that, but then that could be your out. Hey, we would have signed him. We're not going to pay him $25 million because that's what he wants. We didn't think he was worth it, but he could have had a job.
And when does the NFL ever settle? I mean, Tom Brady's in federal court with him. They're saying, come on, bring it on, big fella.
Yeah, Brady's the one who settled on that, right?
He dropped it.
He said, we're done.
I mean, others, Adrian Peterson has taken him to court. Ezekiel Elliott has taken him to court.
Yeah.
They don't settle.
No.
And they settled this one.
Yeah, because they probably knew they were going to lose, or God knows what else was going to come out. You know, what was going to be some of the after effects of it. So they're trying to make it go away. We sit here in February. It's going to be a topic for a couple of weeks, but guess what? Here comes the combine. Here comes the NFL draft preparations. Here comes free agency. Here comes all this other stuff. And people are going to kind of move on from it.
Well, we'll find out what, in my mind, the best sports legal mind in the business thinks about the whole thing. Michael McCann will join us in just a few minutes. And we'll try to get a sense from both sides. What was in it for the NFL to settle this case? What was in it for Kaepernick and Reed to settle this case? And we'll try to figure it out as best we can with Michael McCann. Then we'll get back to the calls with you on the other side. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
UEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, I have said on a number of occasions in the past, it seems as though we will never run out of instances where we want to talk to Michael McCann, that intersection of sports and the law. And we had it come up over the weekend with the announcement on the part of both sides that a settlement has been reached between the National Football League and both Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, and Michael McCann, UNH law professor, SI.com, joins us right now. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dale, and yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'll start with a simple question. Does the NFL ever settle with anybody?
No, other than the concussion litigation, where the league clearly didn't want records to come to light because of the pretrial discovery process that would have led to the league having to turn over information that probably would have become public. The league never settles. The league didn't settle with, of course, Tom Brady, despite the fact that it was a controversy that science had debunked. Even then, the league didn't want to settle the case and save face. And then with other players involving more serious issues like Ezekiel Elliott and Adrian Peterson, the league not only arbitrates, but also litigates, spending a lot of money on attorneys and just spending a lot of time and bandwidth. And yet here they cut a deal with Kaepernick, which I think leads one to expect that the league may have been concerned about some of the potential disclosures.
And how tough is it to prove collusion in a case like this?
Rich, it's hard. I mean, the reality is that the standard favored the NFL because Kaepernick had to show a clear preponderance of the evidence, which isn't mathematically put into play. It's not necessarily 75%, but it's more than in a civil trial. And Kaepernick had to have enough evidence to really persuade the arbitrator, Stephen Burbank. I'm not saying he didn't, but the standard definitely favored the NFL, which makes me think that the league probably thought it would have won, but that a decision about the grievance would have been damaging. Maybe it would have referenced owners' comments that might have seemed racially insensitive. Again, I'm just speculating. Or maybe there are emails or text messages. So what could have happened is that the NFL could have won the grievance but lost the PR battle because of what could have come out.
The terms of the settlement have been kept secret on the part of both sides, and yet what we know for a fact is that the Green Bay Packers are a publicly traded company. At some point down the road, we're going to find out what 1/32nd of the settlement amount is because the Packers have to make that public. We're going to know the amount sooner or later, right?
Probably, although some of those filings, things can be grouped together. So the actual entry in which they pay a share may not become apparent. And also, it depends on what fund it comes from. We don't know the league's source of funding for this payment. I don't know if that's going to be the vehicle to getting information. I think it's more likely that it will just leak at some point, despite the non-disclosure. And the attorneys involved aren't going to be the leakers because they could get in a lot of trouble if they are found to be the leakers. They could get in trouble with the state bar. I think it's more likely that it just comes to light through some disclosure. Probably TMZ will have it before anyone else, as they always do.
Right.
But that's how I expect it will eventually come out.
Now, late last week, there was the report that Colin Kaepernick asked for at least $20 million to consider playing in the AAF, and we talked about that. And then you get this, the settlement news comes out, and you wrote about it on SI.com. But, Michael, how does the AAF request, how does that play into this?
It doesn't legally. It's outside the context of the grievance. So in the grievance, the arbitrator, Stephen Burbank, would only look at the specific allegation that Kaepernick had, which, as we understand it, is the contention that NFL teams joined hands to keep him out. So whatever money he got or could have got through Nike, through the AAF, through whatever other arrangements he might have had, is outside the scope of the grievance. So in that respect, it wouldn't have made a difference. But I think the $20 million number is interesting because if you look at his last season in the NFL, and obviously there are a lot of stats you can look to, but QB rating, I think, is a stat that a lot of people think is a meaningful number. He was 17th in the NFL in QB rating, which nowadays you would say, okay, well, you're middle of the pack quarterback. And that also would place him in salary wise about $20 million a year if you look at salaries this season. So in a way, the $20 million matches up with what he probably thinks he would get if he was playing in the NFL, but for being what he has argued is exclusion, being excluded from the league.
What effect did the CBA and the rather tenuous relationship between the NFL and the NFLPA have on this settlement?
Well, I think there's such distrust between the NFL and the NFLPA that any kind of perceived unfairness on the part of players, they think the league has done something wrong. And you don't see that in the NBA, for instance, a very different spirit of collaboration between the union and the league. Here, so some have written, well, if Kaepernick won his grievance, it would have led to termination of the CBA. That's really sort of a far-fetched, extremely implausible scenario. And I say that because Kaepernick would have to show a bunch of things, including that at least 14 teams were involved in the conspiracy. And then the NFLPA would have to have signed on to the grievance, and then they would have to elect to terminate the CBA. There are a lot of contingencies that just were unlikely to surface. So I think it was more of a fun topic to hear about, but I never thought it was really realistic.
Now, what we don't know is, and there's been different reporting on this, is in the settlement, is there anything that says Kaepernick is not going to play in the league anymore, or is he allowed to play again? Just your reaction, just from looking at all this stuff, do you think he's ever going to play in the NFL again?
Well, taking the first part, I don't think there's an exclusion clause because his attorney, Mark Garagos, was on CNN Saturday night saying that he might sign with the team in 2 weeks. So if that clause existed, it seemed to contradict what his lawyer was saying on CNN. So I don't think he would have said it if that clause existed.
Yeah.
Secondly, Yeah, I think he could sign. I think if you look at quarterbacks across the league, he's better than a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, what everyone thinks about the kneeling, and yeah, he's not Tom Brady, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's a lot better than some of the last half of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the league, and certainly better than a whole bunch of backup quarterbacks. So I would think with this issue gone, in terms of the grievance, that some of maybe the reluctance that teams had to reach out to him because they worried that this would end up in the grievance proceeding if they reached out to him, that they didn't want to deal with that. With that gone, and, you know, he's 31 years old, but he doesn't have the same wear and tear as other quarterbacks. And we look at Tom Brady. He's 10 years older, and he's still a phenomenal player. So I would think that teams will reach out to him. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you just compare him to others, you would think, why not reach out to him? He's at least pretty good.
When I read your piece on SI.com, as you always do, you broke it down very down the middle. This is why the NFL probably could have settled. This is why the Kaepernick-Reed side would have been willing to settle. But as you look at this and knowing what you know about the NFL, isn't it hard to say that Kaepernick didn't beat the National Football League in this case?
Well, I think the fact that the NFL agreed to settle is a way of winning for Kaepernick, right? That he got them to settle. So in that respect, that's a bit of a victory. We don't know the number, though. And we don't know whether the number, I mean, some have said maybe it's $80 million, some have said maybe it's $20 million. I mean, it's all over the board because no one knows, and people are speculating in part probably to get attention and also because they want to sort of fit a narrative that advances what they maybe argued about the case before. And we don't know what the number is. I think if he got $80 million, then it's a huge win. If he got $20 million, it's a win, but it may not be quite as consequential because some of it would be going to his lawyers as well.
Now, we were talking about this before, and I feel like I saw, maybe it was just on Twitter, so that can be a scary way of looking at things, but some of the Kaepernick supporters were upset with him for settling. And now, we don't know how much money he got. Maybe it's a great deal of money. But there were some on that side that said they really wanted him to go all the way with this and expose the NFL. If he didn't agree to settle, what would have been the next steps in this?
Well, I think there would have been an opinion by Stephen Burbank, the arbitrator. That was the next step, and I suspect it was coming soon. I think it was probably, I'm speculating, but I would imagine it's a matter of days or weeks that the ruling would have come down, and probably the arbitrator made that clear to them as well. Arbitration is a pretty fluid process where the arbitrator can sort of give both sides information, sort of practical info. He may have been said, look, either you get a deal done now or I'm going to issue my ruling. And maybe that led them to the table where they agree, let's figure out a number that works. In terms of did he betray the movement? I mean, I don't know. Look, if someone offered somebody tens of millions of dollars and you know your lawyers are telling you chances are you'll probably lose if this goes to a ruling. Why wouldn't you take it?
Right.
And also, he's donated a lot of money to charity. I mean, he could use some of this to donate to causes that he supports. So, yeah, I know some people have written that, but I think it's really unfair. And I think it's if they were in his shoes, they would do the same thing.
There was an interesting story last week about the possibility that there were some NFL owners, at least behind the scenes, reaching out to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, asking what his interest level would be in becoming the commissioner of the NFL. You add to that this news at the end of the week. I don't believe Roger Goodell is in the federal witness protection program, but it does seem at times as though he is. I'm wondering what his standing is among the owners right now.
Well, I think that as long as the league keeps doing well TV-wise and franchise values continue to climb, his job security seems okay. I mean, he got through Deflategate, which even though technically the NFL won, I think was a disaster public relations-wise for the league, where you have a scientific argument that's debunked by science. The fact that they went after the best player in the league. I mean, the fact that that occurred and he got through that. And then, of course, the concussion litigation, which is a legitimately serious thing that a lot of players are not happy with. The result, he got through that in a way that's financially pretty favorable for the league. I know that maybe Adam Silver would certainly be, I mean, I think he's shown himself to be a much better commissioner. I mean, just look at the national anthem issue. Every single NBA player has stood for the anthem while Adam Silver has been commissioner. This is despite being a much more diverse league, a league where many players are from outside the United States. We haven't seen this issue come up once in the NBA. I mean, that to me is so telling that they trust him and that they respect that he has said, look, please stand during the game. We have corporate sponsors that it's meaningful to, but in your own time, you can be as political as you want to be. I mean, that's a pretty commonsensical approach, and that's not an approach the NFL has taken.
Well, speaking of the NBA, Michael, you recently wrote about Rich Paul, and that's a guy who he's gotten a lot more airtime this year than he has, I think, maybe ever, certainly around here, just because he's LeBron's guy, he's Anthony Davis's guy, he's Ben Simmons's guy. And this past weekend at the NBA, it really is just tampering. It's like 48 straight hours of tampering. All these guys, I'm sure, are just, you know, figuring out how to make these super teams. But kind of an interesting gray area with Rich Paul as an agent for him to be able to speak to all these guys. But could this eventually catch up to LeBron down the road?
Yeah, that's right, Rich. He's in this netherworld where he's one of the few, as an agent, he's not governed by either the collective bargaining agreement or the league constitution. And players, owners, GMs, basically everyone, coaches, they're all subject to the anti-tampering provision, and yet an agent isn't, because an agent's licensed by the union. That's how an agent can work, is if they get a license from the union to represent players. And if he is tampering on behalf of a player, which, and I think the presumption is that it's LeBron James, that in theory could get back to LeBron James. But I would say this, no NBA player has ever been punished for tampering. Not one. And this is despite, remember Isaiah Thomas when he went to the All-Star game and said he was going to recruit players from Celtics?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how is that not tampering? Right. Yet the NBA, you know, didn't do it. I suspect it's just because it's not really practical, given, like you just said, it's nonstop tampering. But to use an agent to do it, maybe that would spark the interest of the NBA.
Final question before we let you go. I assume you were not surprised at the word last week that the estate of Aaron Hernandez had their suit trying to get money for Aaron Hernandez's daughter was dismissed by a judge.
No, not surprised. And this is it's a long process that's going to play out, that probably will play out for a while because there will be appeals. But it's playing out as you would expect it to play out. And similarly, you know, arguments that the Patriots might be legally responsible are unlikely to advance, just because when Hernandez did those acts, he was clearly acting outside the scope of his employment. It was during the off season. So these are litigations that will play out, and I would expect that it will probably be a while before there's a complete resolution.
Michael, it's always fun to talk sports and law with you, and as I said, we're never going to run out of this stuff, ever.
No, definitely not.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Michael McCann, UNH law professor. Superb sports law analyst for SI.com. I think, I know he had to kind of couch it.
Yeah.
Kaepernick won.
Yeah, I think he did too.
The NFL doesn't do this. They don't
settle. No, they don't. They don't.
They say, bring it, Buster. Bring it. Come
now,
on.
Especially,
Tom Brady, you come on. I'll see you in court, pal.
Well, especially if it's the $80 million and not the 10. Now, I know, again, for each team, it's not a ton of money, no matter, even if you get the money up to 100 or 200 million, it's not a lot per team. But I think that's a lot easier to settle with what Kaepernick could view as two seasons worth of game checks or you know, of salary plus 3 years on top of that or whatever. If he gets that, I think it is a win for Kaepernick and for them to say, all right, we're just going to shut this down. Because I agree, no matter what it comes to, if you're going to settle, if you're 100% innocent, aren't you going to fight that? And I understand there are certain times where maybe you don't, but you're the league. You've won a lot of lawsuits against a lot of players, right? A lot of players have come after you for different reasons, and you have taken them on head on, and you have been victorious. You've got a pretty good record. And then this one comes up, and you agree to settle. You're like, okay, let's just move on. That's why I also think it would just be a really weird look for the league. It would almost seem like they lost twice if Kaepernick does play. Because now it's like, this guy wasn't allowed in the league until he sued you and won. From the outside, it looks like he won.
Right, right.
And now
you settled with him.
And now you're signing him back into your league?
See, and that's the other reason why I don't think he's going to play again.
Yeah, I don't.
So, and we'll just use the Patriots for the sake of our argument, because that name is thrown out there. So Robert Kraft and the Patriots announced that they've signed Colin Kaepernick and are bringing him in. Wouldn't the first question be, why didn't you sign him before?
Yes. Yes. And all those teams.
So you didn't sign the last 700 days when he last threw a pass in anger in the NFL, you didn't sign him.
Right.
Why is he signable now?
And so when the Bills were starting Nathan Peterman all those games, and now they bring in Kaepernick, you thought Peterman was a better option then?
But now he's not?
But now he's not. He's still younger. He still played more recently. Yeah, if anything, it's getting easier and easier not to sign Colin Kaepernick because he's been out of the game for 2 years. Now, I think he's still only 31, so there are plenty of quarterbacks in the league that are his age.
That's not an age problem.
It's not an age issue at all. But you just take anybody out of the game for 2 years. I mean, think about it. Some people believe Le'Veon Bell after missing an entire season. Like, how is he going to look trying to get back up to speed? If you're a quarterback and you've sat out for 2 years, I don't know who would bring him in now and say, yeah, you know what? He's fresh. Like, what else do you say?
He's well rested.
Yeah, he's good to go. And there's also only a certain number of teams. And I've mentioned this before, but this would always bother me that he might have been blackballed from the league, but it didn't need to be 32 teams agreeing to it. Go look over the quarterback situations around the league. Not that he's necessarily worse than all of them, but for example, the Jets, they have Sam Darnold. They invested a very high draft pick in Sam Darnold. That's their guy. And a lot of teams around the league, rookie, second-year guy, somebody they just gave a lot of money to, they're going to get the shot over Colin Kaepernick. And I'm still not convinced he'd be willing to be a backup. That's really never been explored. I think they need to talk. I'm surprised no team has done this. He's been really quiet. We talk about how Roger Goodell's been quiet. Colin Kaepernick, and I'm not saying he's not doing these charity works, but I'm just saying.
Oh, remember when he was at Harvard and nobody could report on what he said there?
Yeah,
and
you can't get a microphone in front of this guy, so you have no idea if he just wants to play because he loves the game or if he's looking for starter money or a starting role. Like, there's all these different kind of variables which we don't know.
I assume, just based on logic, tells me that Eric Reed got significantly less than Colin Kaepernick did in this case because defensive backs don't make what quarterbacks make.
And he also played.
Right.
So he doesn't have 2 years worth of what he would feel
lost
like is lost
wages.
He has 1 year of that. And then he just signed another deal too, which I was like, that is fascinating that he has his name attached to this. But he missed a season, so I mean, I guess on the one hand it makes a little bit of sense, but he had an ongoing situation with the league while he was playing in there. The lawsuit. It was fascinating.
617-779-7937. Al is calling from Georgia. Hey, Al.
It's Big Al.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up?
How are you?
Great stuff with McCann. Just great.
Yeah, he's great.
And listen, he didn't specify, but just as an observer, I've always believed that the prime targets for media organizations that want to get access to the stuff that tends to get leaked in these big profile cases are the clerks of court and the court reporters who are not members of the bar, you know, but do have access to the original stuff. And, you know, if you're in the clerk of court's office and you're slugging it out making $15 an hour, you know, is it going to really bother you to get a little backsheesh because some lawyers?
Well, but the difference here, Al, is the clerk of courts isn't going to have access to it. It never got filed with the clerk of courts. This never got to the law.
Well, some of it does get filed, and the court reporters have everything too.
Again, this didn't get to court.
Maybe the stenographer has it.
Well, that's what I mean. The court reporter is typically the stenographer. That's what I meant.
Oh, I got you.
Anyway, okay, but yeah, I mean Jason Giambi's. It was a criminal case, but his stuff got leaked, and Barry Bonds' stuff got leaked. And when Canseco wrote the book and everybody in the world was going to sue him, none of them sued him because they were afraid.
Oh, I think TMZ will get it. I don't know how they'll get it or from whom, but TMZ will get this at some point.
You always feel like they will,
one way
or the other.
There's going to be enough people sniffing around on this that we'll get some more details on it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to...
Whoop. What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
I don't think there's an exclusion clause because his attorney, Mark Garagos, was on CNN Saturday night saying that he might sign with the team in 2 weeks. So if that clause existed, it seemed to contradict what his lawyer was saying on CNN. So I don't think he would have said it if that clause existed.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think he could sign. I think if you look at quarterbacks across the league, he's better than a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, what everyone thinks about the kneeling, and yeah, he's not Tom Brady, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's a lot better than some of the last half of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the league, and certainly better than a whole bunch of backup quarterbacks.
It was Michael McCann who joined us at the bottom of the hour and kind of helped break down the whole thing. Let's get that part out of the way first, okay? Because there are those who say, oh, well, obviously part of the deal is he's got to walk away from the NFL. There's no way Mark Garagos says what he says. My point is, he may be wrong about a team signing him.
I think he's definitely wrong about
that. You don't bring up the possibility of a team signing him if there's a clause that says, hey, he's walking away from the NFL, he'll never sign again.
You shouldn't. Although months ago he said the Patriots, look out for the Patriots or the Raiders, I think it was then. Like, look out for those teams.
Yep.
And that never happened. So, yeah, I don't think you would do that afterwards. But then again, you got to look at who we're talking about here. And we got Scott Peterson's
But there is a point where, you know, if there's a clause that prohibits your client from signing with the NFL, you don't bring up the possibility of three teams being interested in signing him because you know you're going to look like a fool.
But that is, it would be weird to put that clause in anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it exists.
Yeah, okay. I think the teams are going to continue to not have him. Like, they're just going to say, all right, there's no clause. And like, yeah, just like there wasn't collusion before, wink, wink. Like, we're not letting this guy back in the league. So no matter what he says.
Do you think that there were teams, because we talked about the flotsam and jetsam that was being signed for quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Yes.
Do you think teams specifically stayed away from him simply because of the collusion case and they didn't want to run the risk of alienating, you know, Roger Goodell and the rest of the league? Hey, this guy sued us. We can't sign him.
I think that was on the list. I think there was probably a pile of things, right? Like, I don't think there was one reason that he wasn't there. I think they were afraid of what the fan reaction was going to be, whatever their specific fan base was. They're worried about that. Then it could be X's and O's stuff, too, like on the field.
He's not that good.
He's better
McCann's
than most.
Point, he's better than some of those guys.
No, he is, but how much did those guys get paid? Some of those
guys got
whatever the league minimum was.
Sure.
Also, some of the ones, like as bad as Mark Sanchez is, like that's a good example. Like Mark Sanchez sucks, but the Redskins offensive coordinator worked with Sanchez before. So there were a lot of cases like that, too, where here's a guy, you're bringing him in because he's familiar with the offense. For example, like Brian Hoyer. There's a reason why Brian Hoyer is a pretty good fit here compared to maybe some other places is because there's some familiarity there.
And a relationship with Brady.
And I think if you look around the league, there's probably a lot of guys like that. There's a lot of backups that, for the most part, you just want out of sight, out of mind. But they can come in, run, you know, play a game if you need them to. But they either know the offensive coordinator, they know the head coach, they'd worked with them before.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, listen. I want to give you my perspective, and I want to let you know what side of the fence I'm on. I'm very liberal. So, with that being said, I'm the type of guy that should be saying, you know what? Why not give Kaepernick a chance? But here's the problem I have with Kaepernick. I just don't think he's, as far as the Patriots go, I don't think he's good enough to play for the Patriots. Plus, the guy is, what has he lost, and is he really worth the trouble that he brings with him? I just don't think he's good enough to bring here.
Yeah, but what do you mean by trouble? What kind of trouble does he bring?
Well, he's going to bring a lot of attention if he comes, and that's what I mean by
okay.
trouble.
Okay, but don't you think, Eddie, out of all the franchises that could deal with any kind of distraction, it'd be the Patriots?
You know, if the Patriots wanted to make an example and do something for the league, sure, they could bring him here. But as a fan, I'd rather them bring somebody in here that can lead this team to another Super Bowl, and I'm not so sure Kaepernick can do that.
No, I definitely don't think he can do that. But I don't think there's a backup in the league. Well, although I said that, and
Nick Foles did it,
so maybe there's one backup. For the most part, you have to have an unbelievable team.
If your starting quarterback goes down,
that's it.
Most of the time, right, your team is probably not winning anything. We saw a team a couple of years ago that
obviously
did.
Obviously, one glaring example. Yeah. I get it, but that's also a guy who had started a bunch of games in the league and whatever. They put it together at the right time. But for the most part, you look around the league, and that's kind of it. If it's a Brian Hoyer season, forget it.
There could be a disconnect within the Patriots organization. If, and I'm just using this as an example, if Robert Kraft said, you know what, I'd like to show people where we stand on the subject of social injustice and social inequity, and I want to bring Colin Kaepernick in there to show people we stand with him on this. And then the football side, the head coach and the slash GM says, you know what, I don't see him playing for us at all.
Yeah, I think Belichick's looking at it. Just how do we win games? Like, that's all he cares about.
Right.
I'm
not saying he doesn't care
about
social injustice. He doesn't care about making a statement for that.
No, he's a football coach, and he's a football, essentially a GM. And so he's just going to bring in guys that he thinks can help them win, but also at the right value. Like, that's always been consistent with him. So if, say, Kaepernick,
is it possible that and let's say the settlement was a significant amount of money, that he's now changed how much he's willing to sign for? Because, I mean, in effect, I just made $20 million. Or,
well, if he really loves football, I would think it would.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
Yeah, we don't know the answer to that.
I don't.
Maybe he did at one point. Maybe he never did. I have no idea. I wouldn't.
If I was guessing sitting here right now, you'll never see him wear an NFL uniform.
I say zero chance. Zero chance.
I wouldn't go that far. But,
come on. What are you so two? Three?
Yeah, I mean, it's small. Zero means it can never happen.
I really think it makes the league look even more foolish if they sign them now after they just lost.
I mean, now you know what you're saying? I don't know the terms of the settlement, but I know that the NFL colluded.
Yeah. Yeah,
because as soon as you settled with him, he signed with the team.
Yeah, I think it's outrageous. So I think they're going to stay away.
617-779-7937. Bill's in Framingham. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I find it amazing that a company would have to be forced to hire a guy that they know is going to bring negative attention to their company.
Well, who would force them to hire him?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's all negative.
Well, by this lawsuit, it's saying, look, somebody should have hired this guy.
I'll just correct you to this extent, Bill, and then you can go on. All they're saying, if he proved collusion, it's that more than one owner got together and said, we're not going to sign this guy. And
we won't sign him if you don't sign him, type of thing. And so they all agreed not to sign him.
Well, why wouldn't one owner just say, look, we'll take the negative attention. We don't care. You know, I mean, if you had a broadcaster that you let go 5 years ago because the ratings were low, people didn't like him, but he wanted to come back, and nobody hired him because he wasn't that good anymore and would brought a lot of negative attention to the owner of that company, you wouldn't hire him.
Yeah, but he's not the worst. He wouldn't be the worst quarterback in the league.
No, it doesn't matter, though.
Well, based on your last little analogy, it would. If you're saying somebody was so bad at their job, said he's not great at his job, but he's not horrible at it. There's room for him in the league.
Now you're saying, look, you got a quarterback out there who arguably everyone agrees isn't that good anymore, but we have to hire him because...
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's saying you have to hire him. The question was, it seems like this. No.
Look, I don't even think anybody's going to hire him.
No. And I also think he's kind of quick to say that wherever he goes, it's only going to be negative attention. I think, if anything, the Nike ad, it's polarizing. It's extremely polarizing. But if he joined a team, that team would also get a lot of love, too. There'd be a lot of negativity. There'd be a lot of people fired up. They'd be like, I'm burning my season tickets. But then there'd be a lot of people that say...
it'd get real hot for a while.
It'd get hot for a while, yeah. But there would be the other side of it. There would be. I mean, the Nike thing is the perfect example. their stock, everybody's like, oh, this is so dumb. How dumb are they? Well, they got a lot of attention. Their stock went through the roof. Did you see the one story? There was a story. There was a guy out in Colorado who had a sporting goods store who, when they did the Kaepernick campaign, he stopped selling Nike stuff. He said, I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah, good plan.
Yeah, he went out of business.
Yeah, I bet he did. I don't know if you've heard, but Nike sells a lot of shoes
They have a lot of good stuff.
They do sell a fair amount of stuff.
You don't have to buy a Kaepernick jersey, but you might want to put their shoes on the line there. They got some good stuff.
I mean, I guess I appreciate the fact that the guy had the courage of his convictions.
Good for him.
And stuck with it.
Much like Kaepernick, he said, listen, you know, with the risk of losing it all or whatever. It's very, very similar. It's very on brand.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Some news from Red Sox training camp. A bit of news made this morning on Mutt and Callahan. We'll get to that and more stuff as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.